from the darkness. So if you're walking in light, you are separating yourself from darkness. And so we're going to look at that topic today. We're going to be looking at walking in light for this month, and we're going to cover several different aspects of that. But my main scripture is 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, first of all, one with another. And it really goes back to what I said Thursday night. If you're walking in the light, if you're separated, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's say all. All sin. That's as simple as it is. If you separate yourself from darkness, that doesn't mean you're perfect. But the scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we're going to cover separation this week, light from darkness, and then light from the word, and then light of the world, and finally walking in light. We have 4 weeks on this topic. So I'm just going to go straight into it where I started. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. The first thing God did, after he created heaven and earth, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light, it was good. And God divided. Now you might not have realized, but that word in the Hebrew means separated. He separated the light from the darkness. And this is key. If you're going to get blessing, we're going to this month need to separate ourselves. There's a lot of things we really do need to separate ourselves from that is dragging us down. And is the reason I really believe why while we pray, while we do other, you know, things, we're not committing, you know, any big sin, though all sin is sin. It's one of the reasons why we're not experiencing the miraculous, because we have not been separated, and I'm going to try and show that to you. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided. And the Hebrew, I've put in the notes there that word, it's badal, and it means to divide, separate, sever, set apart, to make a distinction. So the first thing God did after he created light was to separate it from the darkness. And you'll see that the first three things that God did in creation were acts of separation. Before there could be life, before there could be creation of anything that was organic or intelligent, the first few things God did, you'll see and notice, he did three acts of separation. The light God saw was good, and he separated it from the darkness. So that's the first step, is we need this month to start to meditate on what things are dragging me down. What things are really stopping the miraculous from happening? Because if God, the first thing he did after he did the first step of creation was to separate it. Because the next steps could not happen if that first step of separation had not come to pass. I want to say that you'll see that there was no further creation of anything that was alive until these three acts of separation had happened. So creation requires separation. God in verse 6 said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let, here we go again, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So his second act of creation again involved what? Separation. You may not have noticed it, but before any life, before any plant, before any human being, the first three things God, every time he created, was there's going to have to be a separation. Now, since this is in the first chapter of the Bible, it tells us that this is important to the rest of it. So you cannot have creation, you're not going to have your blessing, you're not going to have your miracles that you want until you first start to look and see, what things do I need to separate? What things in my life are darkness? What things are dragging me down? What things are making me stumble? I need to get out of those things. I love light. My wife is smiling because she knows what I'm going to say next. I leave lights on all the time. It's not that I'm scared of the dark. I just like light. And she can tell you, she goes behind me. She grew up in a home where her mother was extremely, a very good housekeeper, very frugal. And if she saw a light and you weren't in that room, that light was going off. I'll go through the house and I'll be turning on lights. I'm separating myself from any darkness. Not because I'm afraid or anything. I just like light. I want the people outside to know there's someone home. There's a light on in here. You need to let the devil know there's someone home. There's a light on in here. You can't surprise me. There's people in here. There's someone at home. So the first thing God did was separate the light. The next thing he did was separate the water. He separated the waters that were below from the waters above. Isn't that interesting? No other creation yet. First creation, light separated from darkness. Next thing, he separates the water from the water. So you'll find that there are actually three separations that happen before any life can be created. And that should be a symbol to us. Before any real progress in our life is created, we're going to have to do some separations. And most of us this month can think of some things we really need to be separated from. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's the atmosphere we're in. Sometimes it's things we're doing that are darkness, that we may not even realize are darkness, but they're not helping our spiritual walk. So I'm going to give you the three separations. Well, I've told you the first two. Light from darkness. Water below from water above. And the third thing he did was he separated then the land from the water. So those first three things had to happen before there was even any plant or seed being able to come forth. So that should tell us something, shouldn't it? Shouldn't that tell us something? Unless we have done some separations, you can plant all you want, but it's not going to happen. You can pray all you want, but if you are not separated, it's not going to happen. I really think this is key. Do you want some miracles this year? Do you want some healing this year? Do you want the manifestation of the power of God in our lives? I say our lives because I'm talking to myself. There's some separations needed to be done. Because we see that God himself could not bring forth life until these three things had been done. Then he could start to create. So let's look at this. Light from darkness. What does that mean? Well, that one should be fairly obvious. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine. That's what he did. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What does it say? Hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So when you first come to God, it's the knowledge that represents the new light that you have gained, that you have understood. That means at that point you need to stay in the light. You have to stay in the knowledge of God. If you stay in the darkness, the light is not going to help you. So 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to 2 Corinthians explains, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And that light with the knowledge of Christ has shined into our hearts. Every one of you that's here that have some understanding that there is a God, that he wants a relationship with you, that is the beginning of light. Now, how do you respond to that light? You see the light, do you move towards it, or do you stay in your darkness and refuse to go? I tell you, I like light. I'll go down in the basement and turn on the light. And my wife is always on me, why did you leave the light on? She's doing a good job. I'm not knocking her. I'm just saying, me, I would leave every light on. I want the world outside to know, hey, there's people here. You better not come in here. You may get in trouble if you come in here because there's people here. I'll turn on lights where I'm not and walk out. Why? Because light is a witness. Light is a witness. If you see light on a dark night, you know something is over there. Right? I remember when we were training in the cadets or whatever you want to call it. One of the things was they took us out in the middle of nowhere, like miles out in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night, and dropped us off, and we had to find our way with maps and navigate through woods and trees, and boy, it was horrible. It was pitch black, and you know that there were enemy soldiers trying to capture you. So every little twig, every single noise, what was that? Did you hear that? That's why the Bible said that the light of God has shined into our hearts. We need to run to the light. So the light, when God separated the light from the darkness, it was giving knowledge of his revelation. So it's knowledge and understanding, light from darkness. When you start to have light, you start to have an understanding that there is a God. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. You need at that point to start separating yourself from everything that is darkness, everything that is speaking against that revelation. So the second thing was, we see that he separated the water below from the water above. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's my interpretation. They both were water, but one was earthly and one was heavenly, the holy and the profane. Once you have come to start to understand the knowledge of God, you need to start to looking at the things, even if they look the same. Some of them are holy and some of them are not. They were both water, but God separated the water that was below from the water that was above, the heavenly from the earthly. Ezekiel 44:23 says, "And they shall teach my people the difference." God wanted to show a difference, that not everything that looks the same is the same. Some things we need to stay away from, even if it looks the same as something else. Well, they're doing it. Well, do you see what God did? He didn't have to do this in step in his creation, but he made a separation between two things that looked the same, have the same name, but one was below and one was above. Strange. But God was trying to show us something, the difference between the holy and the profane. What does holy mean? Well, the root word of holiness comes from the word sanctification, or in the Hebrew, kadosh, and it really means to separate. That's the first step. Sanctification means separate, and then holy means take that separated thing and then give it to God. That's the two step. First you separate, then you give it to God. That's what holiness is. Now, profane, what does profane mean? Profane means something that's common. It's so common that you don't even bother with it. It's like none of us would go outside and get a bucket and just collect dirt for no reason. Dirt's supposed to be outside. It's common. Unless you're planting something inside, none of us is going to go and say, "Oh, look at that dirt. That's amazing. Look at that dirt. Isn't that amazing?" Why? Because you see it every day. Now, if you saw something beautiful, a rose that was in the middle of nowhere, you'd say, "Wow, that's not common. That's separated." So I want to show you that God made a distinction between the water that was below and the water that was above, even though they were both water. He was trying to show that we need to separate from some things. Do you see the progression? Before God did any creation of anything living, he started three steps of separation. Holy and profane, and cause them to discern. Do you see that word discern? It means it wasn't obvious. There may be some things in our lives that are not obvious that we need to separate from. You have to have discernment. I know one of the things that I do, and I'm going to confess, I love listening to books. Now, especially I've got to drive a long way, I will listen to anything almost. And I know that some of the things I'm listening to, they're not wicked, they're not evil, but they're not really edifying either. And so I'm going to have to put some of those things I'm listening to down. I played one for my wife, and she would understand what I'm saying. It wasn't a bad book. It was about Christianity, but it was written from a perspective of an unbeliever. And the truth is, really, what he is saying is not edifying. So I actually did put that book down. I have not finished listening to it. I'm trying to give you an example that although there are books, they're all water. One is earthly, one is heavenly. We have to start walking in light. If we will walk in the light, remember what it says? The blood of Jesus. That's what you have to start telling yourself. If I start separating myself, the blood of Jesus cleanseth me from all. Let's say it one more time. All?
All.
I like that.
Yes.
All. I need that blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. So now we have the water was separated from the earth below and the water that was above, the holy from the profane. Then we have this next step. After he did that, he then, even the water below, he had to separate the land from that. Let's see what that means. Well, 2 Peter 3:5 says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Isn't that a strange way of saying something interesting? What does that mean? "And the earth standing out of the water and in the water." You're going to have to be different. In this world, you're going to have to be different. You're going to have to stand out. You may not like being different, but that's what God had to do before the first step of true creation. The land had to be separated from the water. And he gathered all of the land into one place and all the water into one place. And Peter here was trying to explain something about the flood, because the people had not separated themselves. They could have. They could have separated themselves into what vessel? What was the vessel of separation before the flood? The ark. The ark. They all had an opportunity to separate themselves, but they didn't. So the water, which raised the ark, was also the thing that was the symbol of judgment. The earth standing out of the water and in the water. It's also a symbol, in a way, of baptism. The land was baptized. It came up out of the water. Do you see that? In essence, when first God created the earth, he baptized it. He separated it from the water. He separated it from the chaos. That's what it's talking about. So these first three steps had to happen before there was creation, before there was a living thing made. There was creation, but everything that had been done so far was all inanimate objects. God was in preparation for his first real step of life. Because the next step, after the land had been separated, after the first three separations, that God then created something that was alive. So baptism separated from out the old nature. He took the land out of the water. So in a way, the earth was baptized. Do you see that? It came up out of the water. If you have not come up out of the water, you need that third step. If you have not been baptized in his name, you need that step. God did it with the whole planet. Because remember, when he had finished his creation, he could declare everything was very good. Why? He had separated light from darkness, the water below from the water above, and then the land from the water. After the separation, then God could actually start to create life. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And as I've said before so many times, when God says, "Let there be," the only answer is amen. Isn't that great? Amen. When God says, "Let there be," there is no resisting that word. There is no force that can stop that. When the demon man came to Jesus, they were worried. "Please, please don't say anything to us. If you say anything to us, I know you're going to tell us to go to the abyss." And you know what? They got no choice. None whatsoever. If Jesus said, "No, you're not going into the pigs. I command you to go into the abyss," that's where they would have had to go. Because the word of God standeth sure. That's why I said, you get a word from God, "Let there be," into your life. The only answer is, "And it was so." That's what we need today. But for that word to next come, we have to do the three separations. "And it was so." So I want to talk about now taking what God did in Genesis and applying it to us. I want to show you what I'm saying is true, that nobody in the Bible ever got blessed unless they were first separated. So knowledge of him, that is light from darkness, separated from ignorance, is the first step. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all, not some of my ways. That's why we don't get perfect answers, because we are not acknowledging him in all our ways. Some of the ways we're doing is our own. Jesus said, I only do the Father's will. I can do nothing of myself. The trouble with us, why we're not getting the miracles and the manifestations, is because we're not perfectly separated. We're hanging on to some things. I'm asking you this month, try it out. Separate light from darkness. Find the things in your life that are dragging you down, whatever they may be. Because the Bible says knowledge of him is the light, and we need to separate from the darkness. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge. And that word in the Hebrew is yada, means to know. It really means in all thy ways know him. Stop being ignorant. Come out to Bible study more. Make sure you're in Sunday school. And when you do that, he's going to direct you out of the darkness. He's going to direct you out of the darkness. You're going to leave those dark paths. He's going to separate you from the darkness that is in your life. The second separation, I told you before, separated from the profane. Jesus said some remarkable things about his disciples. And these were not perfect people. They were like you and me. Peter could swear with the best of them. He could cuss up a storm, apparently. Even after being with Jesus 3.5 years, he still could cuss up a storm. But look what being with Jesus does, or what Jesus can declare. Remember, who is Jesus? The light of the world. So being separated unto Jesus, Jesus could then say in John 17:16, about these men who are just like me and you, they are not of the world. What are these people? Aliens? Did they come down in a spaceship? No. They had been separated to the light of the world for 3.5 years. Do you get that? Because of that, Jesus could declare them not of the world. They have come out of darkness, even as I am not of the world. Isn't that a really amazing thing that Jesus could say about these 12 people? One was a terrorist, Simon Zelotes. He belonged to the sect that was trying to violently overthrow the Romans. That means he came out of a sect that they were the ISIS of their day. We have Matthew the publican, who was skimming off the top of the taxes. And look what coming to the light Jesus can say about them. He says they're not of the world. What an amazing thing for Jesus to say about his disciples. Wouldn't you like him to say that about you? He's not of the world. You are not of the world. You know why? Because you're separated unto the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Jesus, the Word made flesh. Isn't that amazing? Let's look at the third thing. Separated from our old nature, the land from the water. Ephesians 4:22. That he put off, that means you separate, concerning the former conversation. Now that doesn't mean speaking, it includes speaking, but it really means your former lifestyle. Your former lifestyle. Peter, you can't be going down and cussing and wanting to fight people with your sword every 2 minutes. Because that's the old conversation. That's my old man. That's what my flesh wants to do sometimes, right? You know? Just let the anger boil up and let the anger empower you. But that's the old man. You can't let that happen. Because it's corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. So walking in light means walking in separation. I think that's amazing. You should meditate on what Jesus said about it. He declared them not of this world. In fact, he's equating them to himself. He says, even as I am not. And the only thing that they had done is for 3.5 years, they had been with the light of the world. If you have been with the light of the world, then you are not of this world anymore. You know why? The physical light of this world is called what? It's that big ball of fire up in the sky. Right. So if you are with the sun, you're no longer on this planet. You're not of this world. If you are with the S-O-N, you're no longer spiritually on this planet. You're with the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As some of them preachers say, I'm teaching better than you're amening, right? Amen. I shouldn't say that. Forgive me, Lord. Humble me. Amen. Amen. I want to show you what I'm saying is true.
Amen.
Let's go to Abraham. God had told him, leave everybody. You can't take everybody with you. They're going to drag you down. Leave your family. Genesis 12, it said, the Lord had said. That means God had spoken to him before. Genesis 12, verse 1, I didn't put it in there, but go look. It said, the Lord had said. So that means Abraham did not listen the first time. Sometimes God has to speak to us and cause stuff to happen in our lives until we come to our senses. You know why? Because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he'd just give up and say, okay, fine. You're stubborn. You're hard-necked. Go ahead. Go and make a mess of your life. But it says the Lord had said to Abraham, leave everything. I've got a plan for your life. I need you to separate yourself from some darkness. In Ur of the Chaldees, they were moon worshipers. They worshiped Baal. You can't stay there and let me bless you, Abraham, because I'm not intending to bless all of the mess. I just want to bless you. So you need to move out the way so I can just bless you. So Abraham half obeyed. Well, I'm going to leave, but you know, I really need my dad and my granddad and Auntie May and and you know the story. He took his whole family with him. And because of that, he ended up stopping. He didn't go where he was supposed to go. He ended up stopping until his father died. It was the death of his father that made him say, you know what? I should really not be stopping here. This is not what God has called. God has never called anybody to stop. What he's told us to do is that this is a journey. This is a journey. Walk. Abraham walked. Enoch walked with God and was not. Jacob in Genesis 49 says, the God that walked, who was the shepherd of my whole. You see, this is a walking experience. Not a stopping camping experience. If you're camping, you need to get up because you're in the wrong spot. So finally, after his father died, he said, you know what? I need to keep going. And it's only every time he started on the journey that actually God spoke to him. But he still had Lot. And it's not that Lot was necessarily a bad person. But God wants to deal with you individually. Salvation is an individual thing. Although my father, I'm really proud of him. He was a great man. I wish I could just hang on to his coattails and he could just drag me into heaven. That would be great. That would be great. That would be so great because I really believe he made it. I just wish I could and not have to do anything, but that's not how it works. We're all going to have to work out our own salvation. Our own salvation. But so he took Lot, who was his nephew, and he probably said to himself, well, Lot's a good nephew, you know, he really loves God. And that may have been true, but that was still not God's plan for Abraham. And he still did not receive the blessing. And finally, they came up to this beautiful place. And lo and behold, look what Lot noticed about the place. What was Lot looking at? He was looking at the water, which God had separated. And that's where he went down into. Let's read it. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. He went down into the water that should have been separated from the land. That's where he went, leaving Abraham into the mountains, where it looks like you couldn't farm anything. Looks like there could be no blessing. But don't you understand? When God is in it, it doesn't matter where you are. Remember what I preached a few Sundays ago, it's not what you see, it's what you believe. So Lot looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom, not realizing what a terrible hell place this was before God destroyed it. And it was beautiful to look at, but he had not asked God anything. So God allowed this separation to happen. And where did Lot go? He went down into the water. He went to the well-watered plains where God had separated the land from. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves. It's not that Lot was a bad person, but God had a different path for Abraham. It's not that whoever you're hanging around with is necessarily a bad person, but I am absolutely telling you, you're not going to get blessed. God is not going to speak to you. You're not going to receive the miraculous till you make up in your mind to do what God has asked you to do. And the Lord said to Abraham, listen to this. After, let's say after, that Lot was separated from him. That's when God starts to speak to him again and say, okay, now I have you by yourself. Now all the blessings, all of the things I promised you, I can talk to you about. Lift up now thine eyes and now look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Do you understand? He did not receive that. Now remember, it was after the three separations that the first mention of the word seed. It's after the separation with Lot that God starts to give him the promise of seed. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forevermore. Do you see what I'm saying? If you want God's blessing, if you want to see the miraculous, if you want to pray and something actually happen, God in his mercy sometimes lets our prayers go through. But I'm telling you, if you want it on a more regular basis, the more you are separated, the more God's word will be able to speak to you directly. It's after this that he really receives the blessing of the land. Before that, all he had received was the promise. And it took a long time to really get to the place where he was separated. Lot went down into the water where God had brought the land from, the reverse. And finally, after he was gone, it said, after Lot was separated, God started to give him the promise and gave him the creation of life. Remember what I said? It was after the first three separations, the first time God says seed. Amen? So it is separation that will enable the miraculous. Why? Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is consuming fire, even a jealous God. The problem is, he wants us to himself. He's selfish about that. He will not share his glory with another. Do you understand what that really means? He wants to make you the object of his glory. So if he wants to make you the object of his glory and you're sharing yourself with all kinds of stuff and darkness and are not separated, then God's not going to do it. Why? Because God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise, that means my worship, to graven images. You may say, well, I have no images in my house. I got no stone effigies. We may not have physical stuff, but have we been separated in here? Are there things that, and I don't want to preach my message because I have a message to preach, but my glory, God's ultimate plan is to let us have his glory. And he wants this temple by himself. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. We can't be like the world. Sorry, this thing is jumping. Let me make sure it's, there we go. All right. Let me get it back to where it was. We can't be like the world and expect God to bless us. Amen? We have to be different. We have to be separated. Let me get back to where we were. Okay. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then what? I will receive you. Do you understand why I'm saying your prayer may not be received? Because you're not separated yet. And I'm talking to myself because it's so easy to get busy. You know, this week was so busy. There was just one thing after another I had to do. It's not like I had a choice about it, it would seem. Like, okay, as soon as I come, I got to do this, got to do that. And it's so easy to fill our time with everything but God. And coming to church, we may say, well, I'm coming to church. But if we're just going through the motions and not really meditating on what we're hearing, we can come to church and still go out the way we came. As dry as a stick. Right? We have to actually take in the word. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Did you know that ecclesia, the Greek word for church, you know what it means? The separated ones. That's what ecclesia means. The very word church means, or in the beginning meant, separated ones, because they were doing some stuff that was different from everybody else. They were separated. They weren't practicing Judaism. They weren't practicing paganism, but they were breaking bread daily from house to house. They were worshiping God. They were speaking in tongues. They were healing the sick. They were cast. They were doing some strange stuff. Why? Because they were separated. Amen. Let me see if I can get this to stop misbehaving here. Okay. I want to show you something in the Old Testament. Apart from prophets in the Old Testament, God set up this strange thing called the vow of the Nazarite. In Numbers 6:1, and you can read it, it goes from Numbers 6:1, several verses, but I'll just give you the highlights. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either a man or a woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of the Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. And you can read all the things, but I'm going to give you the highlights. In the Hebrew Bible, a Nazarite is one who voluntarily took a vow. Okay, and it comes from the Hebrew word nazir, means consecrated or separated. The vow required the person to abstain from wine vinegar, grapes, raisins, intoxicating liquors, vinegar made from such substances, and eating or drinking any substance that contains any trace of grapes. Refrain from cutting the hair on one's head, but to allow the locks of the head's hair to grow. And not to come into contact with anything that was dead. There's some other regulations. Now, you could take this vow for a certain amount of time, like 30 days or 6 months or years even. Some people took it for years. And anyone who did this, who separated themselves unto God, you know what happened? God used them. The proof of it is in Amos chapter 2:11. And God is speaking to the children of Israel and telling them some things. It says, and I raised up your sons for prophets and your young men for Nazarites. That means he used them because they were separated. Nazarites is not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. But the children of Israel rebelled and would shut down the prophets and try to stop the vows of separation. So today we should be, in other words, separated. There was one person in the Old Testament who was a Nazarite from his birth. Anyone know who that was? Samson. And look what God supernaturally gave him. Because he was separated from his birth, what happened? Miraculous strength. Now, if you look at these videos and films of Samson, they got some big beefcake guy with abs and big muscles. But I don't even think he looked like that. I think he looked as ordinary as me. Big, big, big belly. Nothing to look at. Except he had long hair, long dreads. But the Bible says when the Spirit of God came upon him, there was no stopping him. They locked him up in this city with 2-ton bronze gates and wooden bars, and he just came out at midnight and he took all the frame with him. And just to show them that they were hopeless, he marched that thing up a hill half a mile outside the city and sat it down and went away. When they came up in the morning, they had no gates. That's to show you what the power of separation unto God can do. Because he was separated from his youth, God gave him a supernatural strength. I need some supernatural strength. I don't know about you, but there's some things that are going to come into this 2019 that I know I'm going to need some supernatural strength. I know I'm going to need some supernatural strength. And this thing of separation is not just for the Old Testament. As you can see, the very word church, ecclesia, means the separated ones. We got to start walking in the light as he is in the light. And then the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all, hallelujah, sins. Amen. Let's go on. Okay, I don't know if that scripture had come up, but he gave the Nazarites wine. They tried to destroy their vows. Do you see what it's saying in Amos 12? Even though they had made a vow, people were trying to say, hey, it's okay, you can take this. Listen, it's only a little drop. You know, it's only a tiny little glass. I mean, you'll still be a Nazarite after this. You can still continue the vow after this. You'll still have your strength, Samson, after you break your vow. Remember, they were never to do what? Cut their hair. For the duration of the vow. So Samson told Delilah the secret of his strength and broke the vow. And what happened? He lost his strength. The devil will come and try and take away your separation. That's what it says, but he gave the Nazarites wine to drink. If you don't separate yourself, the people around you are going to try and give you wine to drink. And I don't mean that in a literal sense. I mean in the sense of breaking your separation. I talked about this verse on Thursday. Hebrews 10:12. The priests to minister in the temple had to be separated, else they couldn't do it. In fact, if you weren't separated and you went into the Holy of Holies, you would die. You would die. You could not come before God defiled. Hebrews 10:12. The writer of Hebrews, speaking about Jesus, says this. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Now, what I want to try and explain is how can we become like his disciples? Remember what Jesus said about his disciples? He said something really wonderful. He said in John 7, they are not of this world. You know that song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's what we have to look at ourselves as. I'm just a passing through. Nothing I have is going to be mine permanently. As I said, my mortgage says 2046. I'm not looking to pay that. 2046, I'll be 90 years old. I'm not looking to pay that. I'm hoping for the Lord's return before then. You know, if I'm not of this world, that means my ship is coming to pick me up. I'm truly an alien. I have a green card. It says alien resident. Brother Vinton, you still have your green card? I think he's a citizen now, so. But he did have a green card, and it actually said from the government, I'm an alien resident. I want to be an alien resident because Jesus told his disciples, they are not of this world. And if I'm not of this world, I'm just waiting for my mothership to come and pick me up. You see, we cannot be of this world or else we're going to be in that water that was here. And that water was judgment. Because in Genesis 6, it said it grieved God that he had made man upon the earth. And it says the fountains of the deep were broken up. Do you know the water did not just come from the sky? Go back and read it. It also came from under the ground. The fountains of the deep were broken up. You got to stay away from the water below and drink of that heavenly water. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The priests had to be separated from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And this is the verse that I talked about Thursday night on our prayer. And I love this verse. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Set apart, separation. So all you have to do is move from darkness to light. And God is saying, I call you perfect. Why? Because God is outside of time. He's not looking at the you now. He's looking at the you finished. You know, you ever been around a bakery in the morning when you get that bread aroma? And you smell it and you just start getting eggs and bacon and hot toast and coffee. You're already seeing the finished breakfast. You're already seeing the whole plate laid out before you. And you can't see a thing. See, God looks at you as the finished item because he's the one cooking it. He's the one making it happen. So he's not looking at you as you are now, as long as you are in the light. As I said, the reason the disciples were not of this world is because they were with Jesus. He is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. Just because they had separated themselves, he said, follow me. The Bible says immediately they left their nets. They separated themselves from their business, from their jobs, what they had been doing, and came to him. This is what made them not of this world. That's as easy as it gets. All you have to do is start to walk in the light, and God calls you perfect. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever. Let's say forever.
Forever.
That means forever is forever. Them that are that means, although it's hard for my puny brain to get it, and the devil is always telling me, no, it's not true, God is looking at me as perfect. If you ever get this in your brain, and I've said this so many times, if you look at yourself in Christ as perfect and blameless and holy and separated, now you can only do that if you are trying to move away from the darkness. But if you've moved away from the darkness, if you've made a distinction between the holy and the profane, the things in your life that are dragging you down, if you have moved away from Sodom and Gomorrah, don't go down to the well-watered plains, but if you have come up to the mountains, it may look rocky, it may look steep, but God says, listen, this is where I'm going to plant the seed. This is where I'm going to give you such a blessing, Abraham. Doesn't matter that Lot went down there. In the end, you're going to end up rescuing him. Isn't that what happened? Abraham had to turn around and rescue Lot. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that an awesome verse? Your sins and iniquities, God is not counting. You know who's counting it? Satan. Because he knows that if he can say to you, "Hath God said? Do you really believe this? Is God looking at you as perfect?" Of course he's not looking at you. You know you just messed up. You know you just thought this. You know you just did that. If he can get that doubt into your mind, you've gone down into Sodom with the mess. You're not believing God can bless you on the mountain. Actually, God can bless you anywhere as long as you're obedient. Amen. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more off. You know why Jesus doesn't have to die every day? Because he's already completed the work. There isn't any more thing he has to do to make you perfect. The only thing you have to do is move to the light. Do like me in my house. Just go around turning on lights. As I don't like darkness. I want to be in the light. It says by a new, and this is the verse I should have highlighted because I really want you to understand. This is a secret. This is a revelation here. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. You see that picture up there? That is a side view of the holy place and then the most holy place. But separating the holy place from the most holy place was a veil, a curtain, through which nobody could go. Except once a year, the person designated as high priest, he could go. But only if he took some blood off of that incense altar that's in front of it. He had to get this kind of platter, and he took a shovel, and he scooped up some coals. Then with the incense that he had, he poured it over the coals, and this made it all steam up. And then he was able to go and look at the Ark of the Covenant through the steam from off the blood and all the incense. That's the only way he was allowed to go in there. But I want you to look at verse 20. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated. What does consecration mean? Jesus did the separation for us. He opened that veil through his death so that we, even though we ourselves are not as separated as we should be because we're not perfect, we can still walk through. Do you get it? Because he died, because he was perfect, we can still get to walk through because we're covered by the blood. Isn't that what it says? The blood of Jesus covers us. That's how we can walk through, even though we are not as perfect as Jesus. We should be trying. We should be walking towards the light. But we are not at the light because he is the light. But as long as we're walking towards the light, we can walk through because he's torn that veil. He is covering that hole. So the justice of God is not looking at us and our filthy rags, our righteousness, our best intents, the best actions we can do. The most righteous person, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. But God is not looking at that. What he's looking at is the blood of Jesus. The very first verse I read, it says, because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Let's say it one more time. From all. Let's say it. Come on, say it like you mean it. All. If you're walking to the light, if you're walking to the light, if you're walking to the light, Jesus declares you perfect, sinless, blameless. Either that or this scripture is not true. Is God's word true? It says, now where there is remission of sins, there is no more offering for sin. That means Jesus doesn't have to do it again. He's done it once. He said it was finished. The last thing he said, second to last thing he said, it is finished. And when he said that, the curtain tore in two. The curtain tore in two. Walking in the light is the key to, it's not that we are perfect, but we are starting those three separations that God himself had to do before he could first plant and create a seed. See, did you know that light cleanses? I'm going to show you this. 1 John 1:4. John, writing to one of the churches, says, and these things write we unto you, how that your joy. I tell you this, if you believe what I'm saying, if you believe that God is looking at you as perfect and that there is nothing separating you from God, you're going to have a joy. There's no way, there's no other way you could look. If I believe God is looking at me as perfect and I have nothing separating me from God, I can pray. My prayer is going to be answered. He is listening to me. You can't stop me smiling. Because I will, if I believe, I will have joy. I will have joy. He says that your joy, I write these things unto you. I'm telling you these things so that you can believe. And if you believe, that your joy may be full. This then is the message. He's about to tell them what the message is. We have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness. That's why he's separated. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we keep walking in the darkness, we will refuse to separate ourselves. Because that's all, it's as easy as that. It's not that we're perfect, but if we start to separate ourselves, if we keep walking in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. And I'm going to say this another time. I've said this about 10 times, but I want you to get it. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus makes me perfect. You can't see the perfection, but he sees it, and that's all that matters. Not that I am perfect, but in Romans it says God calls those things that are not, because he's outside of time. He's not inside of time. He's outside of time. He can see the end from the beginning. He can see my perfection that isn't yet as if it is. He can see your perfection as if it is, even though it's not, as long as you're walking towards it. You got to run to the light. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's not that I don't have sin, but it's covered. And we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, if I acknowledge, Lord, I need your help, I need your light, I need your blood, he is faithful and just to forgive sins and to cleanse us. Here's that word again. I tell you, light cleanses. Do you know that they use light today to cleanse? They do. In fact, it's a very powerful disinfectant. Ultraviolet light radiation is a disinfection method that uses short wavelength ultraviolet light to kill or inactivate microorganisms by destroying them. When you start to come to the light, God starts to destroy all the sin, the bacteria that wants to kill you. In fact, I put this in there. I could have put a lot of information. It says the average bacterium will be killed in 10 seconds. Did you read that? It says the average bacteria will be killed by the light in 10 seconds. And the closer you are to the light, the faster it works. They say if it's a distance of 6 inches, the average bacteria, and it'll kill billions of them all at one time. All at one time. Where I work, that's what they do. They use light to kill bacteria. The closer it is, the stronger, the closer to the source, the more bacteria gets killed. Light disinfects. If we knew that, all we have to do is just bask in his light. Get a tan from Jesus, is what I'm trying to tell you. Get a tan from Jesus. The spiritual kind. The one that doesn't, it's not the skin effect, it's deeper than that. Light disinfects. I'm running out of time. I'm going to prove to you that light disinfects. If you could stand with me. The ultimate light is coming back to this earth. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin, the ultimate germ, be revealed. The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. See, God is the one that is stopping Satan's working right now. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I'm going to prove to you light destroys. Because when Jesus comes back, the light of the world, watch this. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, man has only learned in the last 100 years that light can disinfect. But it's in the Bible thousands of years ago that when the one who is the light, the Son of God, comes, just his very coming, his appearance, will destroy the wicked one. Our theme this month is walking in the light. We need to maybe not walk, but run. Scientists have found that the closer you are to the ultraviolet light, the quicker the action is. It says 10 seconds. Billions of bacteria destroyed in 10 seconds. But some people don't understand and they run away from the light. We're closing this Sunday school, but I want you to not forget some of the things I've said today. That before God could do anything, he had to do 3 separations. Before the first time seed, the word seed, could happen. Same thing with Abraham. Before God could do anything with him, he had to fully obey. It took him 25 years to get to the place where he was actually by himself. And then God could actually give him the blessing. Let's not wait 25 years. I'm telling you, the miraculous will happen. Would you like to see some miracles in your life? I mean, such miracles that the world would be stunned. Your friends would say, wow. This church could be packed out. Not by preaching, just by the light. And this will happen if this month we stop and start to walk in the light. Walk towards the light. Hallelujah. I'm really preaching to myself because I know there's things I want to make sure that I'm separating from. They may not be sinful, just like the water from the water. But God was trying to show a distinction between holy and profane. Let us draw near to him. He said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. What a deal. What a deal. That's all we have to do. And then he declares us perfect. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are being made holy. We can't make ourselves holy, but we can separate. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me and your head. Father, we thank you this morning. Help us to understand and walk in your light. Walk towards your light. Hallelujah.